A key witness in the Senate's probe into government's pandemic spending remains safe after the upper chamber lost touch with her. A group of frontliners accuses the health department of providing them with counterfeit N95 masks. COVID-19 infections declining in Metro Manila, but some provinces seeing an uptick. And former Senator Antonio Trillanes gives Vice President Lenny Robredo a deadline to announce her possible presidential bid. The former senator will be joining us later on in the program. Hi, I'm Camina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with the latest on a key witness in the Senate's probe into government's pandemic spending, whom the upper chamber has lost contact with. Formerly pharmaceutical official Crizel Grace Mago recently told senators the firm had swindled the government. She confirmed a witness's testimony formally replaced expiration dates to sell medical items as brand new.
You were swindling the government.
I believe so, Mr. Chairman.
The truth is, I was appointed. I was, how do I say this? I was, nilagay ako dyan for convenience, Mr. Chairman.
So, ginagamit ka nila?
And if you...
Okay, yes or no? Sa tingin mo, ginagamit ka lang nila yung pangalan mo?
For convenience, Mr. Chairman, I believe so.
The Senate offered to provide protective custody for Mago following Friday's hearing. The Senate hasn't heard from Mago since, but Senator Risa Ontiveros believes Mago remains safe so far. Ontiveros says the formerly executive is still in communication with certain groups and individuals.
Ligtas pa rin siya hanggang sa puntong ito, pero talagang gusto kong ipaalam sa kanya na concerned din ako sa kanyang kaligtasan. At bukas ang opisina ko, ganun din ang Blue Ribbon Committee.
Ontiveros adds the witness who revealed the tampering of the expiry dates of face shields is also safe. Over at the lower house, a panel has voted to issue a subpoena to Pharmaly's Crizel Mago to compel her appearance in their proceedings. Our correspondent Sandro Ochona now joins us on the line to tell us more about this. Sandro, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina, the House Committee on Good Government and Public Accountability this morning has moved to vote to subpoena Pharmaly Pharmaceutical Executive Crizel Mago. This amid Senator Richard Gordon, the Senate Chairman of the Blue Ribbon Committee, has announced yesterday that Mago has been incommunicado since her appearance before the Senate on Friday. The House Committee is yet to come up with its decision if Mago will be compelled to appear before them, but Committee Chairman and DIWA Party List Representative Michael Aglipay said they will have to need a two-thirds majority vote to release a subpoena for Mago. Aglipay asked the DOH during today's hearing that if any of the medical frontliners given the expired masks died after using them. DOH Undersecretary Carolina Taino said that none that they are aware of. Surigao 2nd District Representative Johnny Pimentel said during his interpellation that the issue is not on the expiration of these medical supplies, but how these have been utilized, meaning there has been no loss for the government after Taino confirmed that these medical supplies were all distributed to frontliners all over the country. Deputy Speaker Rodante Marcoleta lectured third-party auditor ACG Chairman and CEO Mon Abreo that it was unfair to judge Pharmaly's financial statement because it was never a prerequisite of the Bayanihan Law. Abrea clarified that what he did was a financial analysis of Pharmaly and not an evaluation of another accountant's work, as has been requested by the Senate. Marcoleta also lectured GPPB, saying that it has no right to reverse the wisdom of Congress and that the guidelines confused the procurement process of the government. For his part, formally Executive Mohit Dargani denies swindling the government after Mago's statement before the Senate. Dargani also believes Mago is now under pressure by the Senate. The reason why he also believes Mago has not communicated with Senator Gordon after seeing what happened to Lincoln Ong, another executive, formally. The committee is set to hold another hearing after today. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Sandro. Chona there joining us on the line. Take care, Sandro. Keep safe. Moving on, a local nurses group livid over government's purchase of substandard face shields and face masks from formerly pharmaceuticals. The president of the Filipino Nurses United chapter at the San Lazaro Hospital claims the health department also provided them with counterfeit N95 masks at the onset of this pandemic.
Ang sa amin, ba't hindi kami maprovide ng kalidad kung buhay naman din namin ang nakasalalay? At syempre, kung buhay namin, buhay din ng mga pasyente ang maapektuhan. Hindi mawala sa isip namin na baka isang sanhi yun kung bakit maraming tinamaan sa hanay naming mga nurses at mga doktor at iba pang health workers.
The group says health workers are left to secure their own personal protective equipment due to lack of support from government. That's even as many of them have yet to be properly compensated for their service.
This is quality, saka cost-efficient din, at syempre eco-friendly kasi hindi kami tapon ng tapon.
Correct.
Ito, binababad namin ito, tapos ini-UV po, plus yung face shield na sinasabi nyo, meron yung mga staff namin sa triage.
Yes.
May nagbigay lang. Ganun ang ginagawa namin. Sarili namin bulsa, umahanap kami ng sponsor kasi medyo may kamahalan. Pero in the long run, cost efficient siya.
The Philippines records over 20,000 more COVID-19 infections Sunday. This brings the country's total to 2,490,000. No new deaths were reported due to a glitch in the health department's reporting system. Meanwhile, the positivity rate has fallen to 21.9%. That's the lowest since August 9th. But hospital occupancy rates across the country remain at high risk, offering no relief to the nation's already strained health system.
Bago pa magsimula yung pandemya, meron na po tayong kakulangan sa mga healthcare workers sa mga hospital, parehong private tsaka public, mga nurses tsaka mga doktor at pati yung mga auxiliary na staff po, no? Pero ngayong pandemya po, dahil sabihin nating dahil sa bumaba yung kanilang moral or na-demoralize sila at ang ilan sa kanila ay nagbago na din ng trabaho dahil po sa safety, no? Para sa sarili nilang safety at gusto na ding mag-abroad, talagang lalo pa pong bumawas yung mga nurses at mga ibang staff po natin.
Researchers say COVID-19 cases in Metro Manila are declining due to increased vaccination rates. A professor from the UP's pandemic response team says the vaccination campaign must be ramped up to cover more age groups in order to reach the 90% threshold for herd immunity.
Mas bibigyan ko ng weight yung epekto ng ating mga bakuna. Tingin ko, lalo na sa NCR, marami tayong mga lugar na nagkaroon na ng mataas na bakuna. Kapag kasi nabakunahan yung isang tao, syempre hindi naman 100% yung efficacy ng mga bakuna natin. Pwede ka pa rin magkaroon ng virus. Pero ang kagandahan nito, mas mababa yung viral load mo, hindi ka ganoon makakahawa sa ibang tao. So nakita natin to in terms of the number of cases. Kung masisimulan na natin yung nandun sa mga teenagers natin na mabakunahan, somehow lalapit tayo dun sa 90%. At ito yung tinitingnan natin na sana kung mangyayari ay mas tuloy-tuloy na talaga na bumaba itong mga kaso natin.
But Professor Rabahante warns, although the number of cases in Metro Manila is declining, other regions are seeing the opposite.
Ito pong national nating ito ay karamihan galing sa NCR. But if we're going to alisin, ipaalisin natin yung NCR doon sa picture, marami pong mga provinces ang nag-i-increase pa din. So gusto ko itong sabihin kasi baka kasi isipin ng mga tao buong bansa nagde-decline, but there are regions na nag-i-increase. For example, sa CAR, sa Baguio, nagkaroon tayo ng spike. Sa Region 5, sa Davao Region, sa Region 4B.
The Philippines secures 3 million more doses of Sinovac vaccine. The jabs arrived Sunday, raising the country's vaccine stockpile to 69.7 million. More than 20.2 million Filipinos have been fully immunized against COVID-19 as of September 26, but it's still far from the 77.1 million government wants to inoculate by the end of the year. And here's the latest on the 2022 elections. Senator Manny Pacquiao gets a second nomination to run for president. The Provincia Muna Movement Initiative Party, or PROMD, believes Pacquiao represents the dreams and aspirations of many Filipinos. Pacquiao was first nominated for president by his faction of the ruling PDP-Laban. The other wing, led by Energy Secretary Alfonso Cusi, nominated Senator Bongo to run for president and President Rodrigo Duterte for vice presidential post. Former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV gives the Vice President Leni Robredo a deadline to decide on her plans for the 2022 elections. Trillanes says he will be the one to run for president if Robredo fails to make a decision by 12 noon of October 8th. That's the last day of the filing of candidacies. Trillanes vowed not to let the opposition lose by default. As for the vice president, she said she's still committed to uniting the opposition under one presidential candidate.
Siguro, merong iba na hindi na natin maaaya. Pero hanggang may communication lines pang bukas, patuloy ko yun ipopursue. 2022, ang daming nakakatakot na senaryo na pwede mangyari. Number one na nakakatakot ng senaryo, makabalik yung mga Marcos. Anong pangalawang nakakatakot na senaryo? Yung nangyayari ngayon, patuloy pang mangyayari in 6 years. Hindi na nga forgivable yung corruption at any stage. Lalo pa ngayong pandemic. So, pag nanonood ako ka Ellie, ang isip ko lang, paano kayo nakakatulog sa gabi yung mga taong ito? Na ang daming Pilipino naghihirap, yung inisip pa nila, yung dilihensya.
Opposition coalition Isambayan recently said it's still in talks with Robredo, Trillanes, Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Dumagoso, and Senator Manny Pacquiao. Joining us now is former Senator Antonio Trillanes. Senator, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Ms. Carmina, and to our viewers.
All right. I want to begin with your statement, the statement that you issued. Giving the president sort of an ultimatum. What was the trigger behind that statement, Senator?
Let me clarify, Ms. Carmina, that it's not an ultimatum. It's not a deadline. I was just providing a plan B or a contingency plan because VP Leni herself said that her deadline is before October 8. So we are just aligning the contingency plan with her statement that if she doesn't run, then by 12 noon, I'll be filing my COC for president. So that's just it.
Many saw it as a threat, Senator. And if it were indeed a threat, who was your intended recipient of that threat?
Okay, well, it's not a threat. Because our position is very clear that the opposition is united behind Vice President Leni Robredo. We believe that she is the antithesis of this administration, Duterte in particular, and that she has the best chance in winning among the members of the opposition. So we are going all out for her in case she decides to run. But then she herself has been saying that the option not to run is there. And that's the reason why we floated this plan B for the opposition.
Okay, we're going to talk about your plan B in a moment. But first, you yourself just said that you believe that she is the best one, in so many words, to lead the opposition. In previous statements, you also said that you believe she can win this and you're going to be behind her so that that will happen. If that is so, Senator, why can't you respect her process? Why can't you just leave her be, let her decide, and just wait until she makes that announcement before announcing any sort of plans, whether it's plan B, C, D, or E?
Okay. The statement, if you would see the one that we posted on Facebook, it's addressed for the opposition. Mga maka-opposition. That's para sa mga maka-opposition. That was the heading of that statement. So we're trying to address our base. And we are totally respecting her process, her decision-making process. We know it's difficult. But then she herself said that by her personal deadline is October 8th. So I don't see any contradiction or any conflict in my statement with hers. So I don't know where this confusion is coming from.
Yes, because you claim that you belong to the true opposition. You're also a representative of the true opposition. And yet some have said and some have observed, and I'm sure you know this, Senator, that your actions have eroded that base that you speak of. How would you respond to that?
Well, I will definitely disagree with that. We're trying to consolidate the opposition. What I'm trying to prevent is the dilution of our message and that opposition by including the Duterte enablers. And when I said that I was not getting in the way of the unity talks of VP Lenny, I was referring to them, these Duterte enablers, subordinating themselves under VP Lenny. So that is acceptable to us. But VP Lenny subordinating herself to these Duterte enablers is not acceptable to us. It's a red line that she should not cross.
Tell me about the possible scenarios here. Because you already said you're working on a plan B, and that plan B involves you offering yourself as the presidential candidate of the true opposition. If that happens, Senator, does that mean that all talks of uniting the opposition will stop if the vice president decides that she's not going to make a go for it?
Yes, because let's define first the opposition. That's why I qualified it by saying the true opposition. Because we know that the opposition or the true opposition are those who have been calling out consistently Mr. Duterte's excesses, her abuses, his abuses and corruption the past 5 years. Now, those who are pretending to be opposition now are definitely not the members of the true opposition, because they can't even call out Duterte by name directly. They're just attacking those at the periphery. So the lines should be drawn clearly between who is the member of the opposition and those independents, and they claim to be independents. So there's nothing to reconcile, or there's nothing to unite, because the opposition, the true opposition, is united behind VP Lenny. So that's just how it is.
You claim to be, as you said, a member of true opposition. You're supportive of the vice president.
Yeah.
But let me bring this up, because remember the rumor that Vice President Lenny Robredo herself addressed in a previous interview, the rumor that claims that she is actually in a relationship with a person much more junior than her. My sources have told me, Senator, that that rumor actually came from your camp. After you received so-called intelligence. Care to address that for us this afternoon?
Well, the fact that you got it from a different person, therefore, it did not come from me. So I deny that, and that is immaterial to the issue at hand, right? The issue at hand is the decision of the vice president to run for president and lead the opposition. So I think that's the focus of the discussion.
Yeah, you claim for it to be immaterial, but you know, yeah. Senator, a lot of people have been quite interested in the kind of communication that you've had with the office of the vice president. I've had her spokesperson here several times on the show. Attorney Barry Gutierrez would say that, you know, you guys would talk to each other either through text, but there's some sort of communication. And then you go ahead and say your sentiments to the media when in fact you could have told them directly. Has that changed or is still that the case? And how would you explain that statement of Attorney Barry Gutierrez there, Senator?
Okay. Vice President Leni Robredo is supposed to be the leader of the opposition. Then as a leader, she can call, she can summon the different groups, the different opposition leaders, to meet with everyone and tell us about her plans. We have been waiting. We have been asking for that meeting. But she has yet to meet with the different opposition groups. So I think while personally I have a line with Vice President Leni Robredo, but it's different because of the security concerns with communicating on gadgets, it's better to do these things face to face. So we have been waiting for that, and it would be contradictory to their statements that they have been trying to unite with other groups, and yet the groups within your own base, you have yet to reach out with them and meet with them. And in fact, some LP congressmen are already joining the other camps. So I think her own house is disintegrating while she keeps on saying that she could do better in reaching out to the others. So we have a problem with that.
So you're saying her own house is disintegrating. Are you saying that only because she hasn't reached out to you?
No. I'm sure you've heard about the LP congressmen already joining the other presidential candidates. And in fact, we're getting information that even some of the LP senators have already reached out to the other presidential candidates. So it's not about us. It's about them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go to that in a bit. But first, to your point that you said that you've been waiting, that she has been consulting, talking to the other contenders outside of the true opposition, and you've just been waiting. So let me ask you, former senator, what does that tell you, the fact that you're still waiting up to now?
Well, precisely, it disproves your earlier point that we're getting in the way. We're just waiting. The other opposition groups are waiting as well for her decision, for her direction. And the thing is, we're trying to inquire from people inside the VP camp that they have yet to even select the their own campaign manager. And so nobody's preparing on the ground. So contrary to the impression that they're creating that they're ready to go, so what if this unity talks falter? What's their plan? Are they actually confident, or they're probably overestimating their capacity to run a national campaign on short notice? And they can say that because I was there during the 2019 campaign. And I saw VP Leni and the LP in action. And guess what happened in that election? So it's not an ideal result. So I was hoping, learning the lessons from the 2019 elections, that the preparations should be made earlier. I guess this time they did the opposite. They're not even preparing until the end.
Could it be that, or could it be that you just are not part of the inner circle, that you're a virtual outsider, Senator?
Well, we have our ears on the ground as well. And you can ask some of the LP insiders. They're not moving because all of them are waiting for VP Lenny. There is no campaign manager. I don't know if you've heard of a name from your own sources. There's nobody. And that's a fact.
So we have been talking about the plans of the vice president. Obviously, she hasn't made up her decision or made her decision public yet, because those are two different things. But I want to talk about your plans. Mm-hmm. What are your plans, Senator Trillanes?
Okay. The plan, as decided on by our group, the Magdalos, that should VP run for president, we would go all out and make her win, help her win. Okay? If that's the case, I would be running for the Senate. Now, if she doesn't run, or if she doesn't file her COC for president by 12 noon of October 8th, in line with her own deadline, then I would file my COC for president. So that's the decision three.
What makes you think that you are the viable candidate for the true opposition, Senator, if that happens, if Plan B takes into effect?
As I mentioned, this was decided on by the group, that we cannot just lose by default. Now, as to the viability, I will just let the people decide, given that once at the appropriate time, rather, I would be presenting myself as the better alternative from all the other choices. So that's just how campaign politics works.
Isang Bayan is also in talks with you, correct?
Yes.
As what?
I'm also being considered as their possible nominee for president.
Mm-hmm. So what do you say then, Senator, that this is all this time, this has been all about your ambition to run for president, that all these issues surrounding the vice president was nothing more but for you to keep your name out there, for you to be relevant? What do you say to that?
Well, people can say whatever they want to say. And I can't possibly convince them otherwise. But I think the statement is very clear. If this is about me or my ambition, then I would have just declared anyway, with or without the decision of VP Lenny. But here we are. We can't even plan. Nobody in the opposition can even plan. Even the senatorial candidates can't even move, can't even align themselves with the other presidential candidates because they're waiting for VP Lenny. So that's where we are. That's the status quo. And so if it's about ambition or about power, remember, I quietly left public office in 2019, and I'm now in the private sector as a teacher, as a lecturer in the Ateneo and the UP. So I believe it would counter the argument that you're presenting.
With the way things are shaping up, mm-hmm. with the current crop of contenders, with the absence of a declaration from Vice President Lenny Robredo, how would you define what the future has in store for the country post the 22 elections if things go unchanged?
Okay, that's the scenario that we want to change, that we want to prevent. And as to your, I think you're trying to say that if there would be more candidates, it would be advantageous for the administration. Well, we've been tracking the surveys, and it's even advantageous for the opposition to have more candidates from the administration, because they will eat up on the votes of the nominee of Mr. Duterte. And we also have a scenario of a head-to-head or a one-on-one fight. And the lead of the administration candidate is practically insurmountable compared to the five-way fight. So based on the data, it's going to run counter to the argument of the pseudo-political analyst or even BP herself, who's saying that we should unite, we should only field one candidate from the opposition and one candidate for the administration, because the data, the research is saying otherwise.
Former Senator Chilianes, as a final question, you continue to push for the vice president to run. Even yes. with all the criticisms that you've just said about her campaign, mm-hmm. about what's happening or not happening in her camp, you still continue to hope that she continues, that she guns for the presidency. How confident will you be, though, that when it comes to deciding on national interests, that the vice president won't take as long if she does become president?
Well, what we're hoping for is this, that once she decides to run for president, we hit the ground running, we focus on winning, while I think it's a given now that if she becomes president, she would do so much better, infinitely better than Mr. Duterte and the others. So what I told them is, once she makes that decision, we are hoping that the future decisions would not take quite as long. So it's a hope. It's an aspiration.
And with the way things are going, do you think that that hope is going to be realized, that, you know, what we're seeing right now is just part of the process? But as you said, when she decides, if she decides to gun for the presidency, then things will be different.
I believe so, because remember, I ran against her in 2016, and the Leni Robredo then was decisive and was focused on the mission, and it's very different. I believe that once she makes that decision, everything now would be more systematic than what it is now.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Former Senator Antonio Trillanes, we appreciate you coming to the show. Thank you for joining us today. Take care and you keep safe.
Thanks, ma'am.
And from there, we're going to take a break now. Up ahead, over 100 aftershocks recorded following the magnitude 5.7 tremor that struck Occidental Mindoro early this morning. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Stay with us. We are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. A key witness in the Senate's probe into government's pandemic spending remains safe after the upper chamber lost touch with her. A group of frontliners accuses the health department of providing them with counterfeit N95 masks. COVID-19 infections declining in Metro Manila, but some provinces seeing an uptick. And former Senator Antonio Trillanes gives Vice President Leni Robredo a deadline to announce her possible presidential bid. Back with more news, a magnitude 5.7 earthquake struck Occidental Mindoro this morning, rattling parts of Luzon, including Metro Manila. State seismologists say the quake happened at 1:12 in the morning, 23 kilometers northeast of Look. It had a depth of 74 kilometers and was tectonic in origin. Over 100 aftershocks have been recorded so far, and FIVOX expects more.
No reports of any damage at all. As of 5 a.m. this morning, aftershocks have been recorded, and so far a total of 112 aftershocks were recorded. The highest magnitude of the aftershock was magnitude 4.5. Aftershocks are most likely of smaller magnitude.
An update on the weather now. State Weather Bureau Pag-asa monitoring a typhoon that's forecast to enter the Philippine area of responsibility tomorrow. For more on this, we now have on the line weather forecaster Joey Figuracion. Joey, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Carmina, and to Total Liberation World Program. As of now, we're currently we're monitoring a tropical cyclone outside our area of responsibility. This inclement weather system has an international name in Dule, which contributed by North Korea and is now a typhoon category. Mindoli is expected to enter our area of responsibility tomorrow and will be given a local name, Lani. Upon entry of our area of responsibility, it is likely to exceed PAR shortly after 24 to 48 hours. That means with the current data, landfall scenario is less likely. Meantime, its trough or extension of its circulation affecting the eastern sections of Luzon and Visayas, bringing only isolated and brief rains or thunderstorms. That means generally fair weather will be experienced throughout the country in the next 24 hours. Stay tuned for our updates and check frequently our social media accounts. Please follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just search DUSD_Pag-asa. That's the latest on our weather. This is Joey Figuracion live from Pag-asa Weather Forecasting Center. Good afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Joey, to you and the rest of the team there. Thanks for all that you do. Keep safe. World News now, Kabul's airport now fully operational for international flights. That's according to the Taliban's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which says all airlines can now resume operations. The ministry also assures the public of full cooperation in conducting flights. Flights were suspended at the airport following the Taliban's takeover in mid-August, with the exception of evacuation flights. Israel kills four Hamas militants in the West Bank, whom it claims were set to carry out terrorist attacks. Details in this report.
Israeli troops killed at least four Hamas militants in gun battles on Sunday, in raids against one of the group's cells in the occupied West Bank. That's according to an Israeli military spokesman, who said an Israeli officer and a soldier were also critically wounded, and four more Palestinians arrested. Israeli officials have long said Hamas, which runs the Gaza Strip, intends to gain strength in the West Bank, so it can challenge its rival there, the Western-backed Palestinian Authority. This Palestinian resident of the village of Beit Anan heard the raid before dawn and says he saw soldiers carrying two bodies. The shootouts marked the most serious violence between Israel and Hamas since an 11-day Gaza war in May, and threatened to raise tensions in the West Bank and along the Israeli border with Gaza. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas accused Israel of, quote, field executions against our people. A Hamas spokesman confirmed the men were members of the group, which Israel and the West regard as a terrorist organization. Hamas called on Palestinians in the West Bank to, quote, escalate resistance against the occupier in all areas. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, en route to the UN in New York, said the Hamas men were, quote, about to carry out terrorist attacks.
Germany's Social Democrats poised to end 16 years of conservative rule under Angela Merkel after narrowly winning Sunday's national election. The center-left party is on track for 26% of the vote, ahead of Merkel's conservative CDU-CSU bloc with 24.5%. With neither commanding a majority, the most likely outcome is a three-way alliance. The SPD's chancellor candidate, Olaf Scholz, believes they have won a clear mandate to ensure a good and pragmatic government for Germany. Huawei's chief financial officer Meng Wanzhou has returned to China, ending a nearly three-year U.S. extradition fight. Meng arrived in Shenzhen with a hero's welcome. It follows a deal with U.S. prosecutors to end a fraud case against her. The extradition fight has been a central source of discord between China and the U.S. Analysts believe Meng's return to China could pave the way for improved ties between Beijing and Washington. We're going to take another break. Up ahead, oil prices in the Philippines headed higher once again. You're still watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Stay with us.
news, the director of the Philippine National Police Academy has been relieved following the death of a cadet due to hazing. Our correspondent, Rafi Santos, now joins us with details. Raf, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina, saying he was disheartened by the death of a police cadet at the PNP Academy in Cavite. Police Chief General Guillermo Eleazar has replaced the director of the PNPA with immediate effect. Major General Roderick Armamento has been replaced as PNPA director by Major General Alexander Sampaga. Armamento will be posted to a new command as head of the PNP Directorate for Information Technology and Communications Management in Camp Crame. Eleazar says the PNPA must uphold the values of its motto of justice, integrity, and honor, ensuring justice will be served in Cadet 3rd Class George Carl Magsayo's death. Magsayo died after allegedly being punched by his upperclassman, Cadet 2nd Class Steven Cesar Maingat, who is now facing both criminal and administrative charges for Magsayo's death. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Rafi Santos there joining us on the line. Take care, Raf. Keep safe. On to more news. Hospitals in the province of Benguet now in critical level amid a surge in COVID-19 cases there. Benguet Governor Melchor Diklas says hospitals are also running out of medical oxygen. He notes the rising number of cases prompted the province to suspend tourism-related activities and mass gatherings.
Usually po ang mga cases lang po natin umaabot siya ng mga 10 to 20 cases a day. Sa ngayon po may time po na umabot tayo ng 400 plus. Tapos sa ngayon, sa kahapon po ang kaso po natin is 300 plus. O umabot na 350.
In business, pump prices are set to go up for a fifth straight week. Kerosene will see the biggest hike of 95 centavos per liter. Diesel prices will increase by 90 centavos per liter. Meanwhile, a liter of gasoline will cost 55 centavos more. Industry players say the hike is due to stronger global demand, as well as supply concerns due to the lingering impact of Hurricane Ida on U.S. oil refineries. In sports, Lewis Hamilton becomes the first Formula One driver to win 100 Grand Prix races with a dramatic victory in Russia. The win propels Hamilton back on top of the championship standing. The seven-time world champion is now 2 points clear of Red Bull's Max Verstappen, who finished second. Spaniard Carlos Sainz was third for Ferrari.
Get in there, Lewis.
Broadway musical Dear Evan Hansen gets a movie adaptation, while Netflix releases its new thriller, Midnight Mass. Manny the Movie Guy has your picks of the week.
I think right now, in an unprecedented way, people are feeling isolated and stuck in their own minds.
In Dear Evan Hansen, Ben Platt returns to the role he originated on Broadway, the social outcast with a broken wrist named Evan Hansen.
Have you ever felt like nobody was there?
Suicide, death, and social anxiety disorder play major parts in this tragedy of errors, from perks of being a wallflower, author and director Stephen Chbosky.
And when you're broken all...
Lending support is Caitlin Dever, who stars as Zoe Murphy.
I'm sorry about my brother. I just find her to be such an inspiring woman.
The core themes of the Tony-winning Broadway show are left intact here, like being an outsider, preventing teen suicide, and learning to accept oneself.
Connor showed me that I wasn't alone.
The cast is fantastic, with Platt anchoring the film. He is commanding, but there are some folks complaining that he's too old for the part.
I don't think that he is. I think he is meant to play Evan Hansen.
Dear Evan Hansen is sad, funny, tragic.
It gave me all the feels, Miss Caitlin.
And for that, Dear Evan Hansen gets 3 out of 4 only in theaters kisses. And on Netflix, the dark and twisted thriller Midnight Mass. From creator Mike Flanagan, who gave us The Haunting of Hill House and The Haunting of Bly Manor, Midnight Mass tells the tale of a small, isolated island community who is disrupted by the arrival of a mysterious priest played by Hamish Linklater.
Like, gosh, I hope this makes people think.
The dynamics between Christianity and the supernatural will make you think. The body and blood of Christ and the whole shebang.
Miraculous time.
This 7-episode series is an easy binge watch. It's a slow burn in the beginning, but hang in there. You'll be rewarded with a great payoff.
I think I'm crazy.
Creepy, smart, and full of satisfying twists and turns. Stay up for Midnight Mass.
Because of you guys, this devout Catholic boy will never attend Midnight Mass ever again.
And for that, Midnight Mass gets 3.5 out of 4 Crockett Island kisses. I'm Manny the Movie Guy for AMC.
And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.